This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul." I'm going to end my reading right there because there's two things here that are going to transpire. Now, just to kindly enlighten your mind on where we are, the prophecy has come down and God has told through the prophet Samuel, Saul, your kingdom is coming to an end. It was given in the sign of the ripping of the prayer shawl of Brother Saul or Brother Samuel. But I believe that there were only two people that day that saw that happen. I believe Samuel and Saul are the only two people that knew that the kingdom was done. It was gone. Jonathan and Saul's sons would never reign. They were all done. But yet Saul could see the chess pieces lining up where God was taking the kingdom away from him. And the queen on the chessboard was the rise of this young shepherd boy named David. And this shepherd boy, God was turning him into a mighty soldier. One day they come in off the battlefield and they have, absolutely, they have wreaked havoc upon the Philistines and they come into Gilboa. There's a fortress at Gilboa where they're at, and the women are hung over the sides and there's a parade as they go down the streets and the women are crying, "Saul has killed thousands. Saul has killed thousands." I believe he swells up with pride on the inside thinking, boy, they have finally seen the good that I have done. He's getting bow-chested. He's blowing up like a blowfish. And he's walking in thinking, I sure am somebody. He's got that strut in his step. He's got that walk. He's got that twinkle in his eye. And all of a sudden, he no more gets to that place. And those same people began to cry, "But David has killed tens of thousands." And the same man that's a strutting with a puffed up chest, there comes a wave over Saul. Saul has never felt anything like this wave that's come over him. He's never felt anything like what's just come over his spirit. All of a sudden, now the same man that he's walking beside, the same man that he loved more than anything because he killed Goliath and saved his kingdom, now the same man that he would listen play the harp and the lyre every night to get him to go off and calm himself to go to sleep, that same man, now Saul looks at him with disdain. Every word David says, he looks at him with hatred. Every word David says, he looks at him with contempt. Every time now David picks up the sword, Saul thinks he's going to do something to me with that sword. Every time David speaks, it churns something inside of David's gut. Just to hear him breathe at night makes him want to throw up. What is that? It's the spirit of envy. I want you to look in verse number 9 right quickly, and I'll draw a little text out of verse number 9. Notice what it says in verse number 9. "And Saul eyed David." That word eyed, it has the idea of raising the eyebrow and looking at somebody with jealousy. That's what that word eyed means. And now Saul is eye. Everything David does now, it makes Saul want to throw up. Can't believe he would dare go out and fight the Philistines. I can't believe he would dare play that harp. You say, preacher, where did that spirit of envy come from? Look in verse number 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the what? Evil spirit. You see, that spirit of jealousy, that spirit of envy, that spirit of disdain, it is derived and it comes straight from a demon that begins to oppress Saul. I want to tell you something. That is not the last time you're going to see that demon of envy overwhelm the people of God. That's not the last time you're going to see that demon of jealousy arise up from that demon and come on somebody. I'm telling you right now, that spirit of envy, that demon oppression is as real today as it has ever been in all of history. There are people and they cannot even stand to look at somebody because they can't stand the way that they sing. They can't stand the way that they talk. They can't stand the way that they get the open doors. They can't stand the way that they can eat and eat and never gain a pound. And I go buy a Krispy Kreme on the side of the street and I gain 14 pounds just looking at it. And that fool can put down 12 dozen and not even burp with indigestion. I hate. Well, it's funny when we talk about Krispy Kreme. But you and I both know that it is an overwhelming wave that comes over you, that spirit of envy as it tries to destroy what we have. Listen to me. I have felt this spirit in my life. I have felt this. I have heard people preaching, and that spirit comes over me and says, boy, didn't they just do a much better job than you could have never done it like that. And I can feel that wave as it hits me in my feet and rises up. There'll be people that sing or people that play or there'll be people that talk, or there's some people, honestly, they can pull lint out of their pocket and throw it up in the air and it comes down a $100 bill that they catch and put it back in their pocket, and that comes over us and says, why can't that happen to me? Why can't it be that way in my life? Why do they always get the open doors? Why did they have a daddy that loved them? Why did they have a mama that didn't beat them? Why did I have to go through this anxiety? Why is it that I have to deal with this jealousy? Why is it that I am always the one getting kicked around? Why is it I am always the one that gets the short end of the stick? Why is it this way for me and why is it that way for them? And every time that spirit comes, if you open up your heart to that thing, now what happens is this: every time that person talks, it turns your stomach. You can't believe they'd be so audacious to walk past you on the street or say at your cubicle, hey, how you doing? Can you imagine the contempt that they have to say that to me? That backstabbing, low down, good for nothing, sorry, piece of nobody. They're just a hypocrite. They're useless. And it's that spirit, that demonic oppression that comes over us. And what we don't realize is it's a demon spirit that comes over us, and it's the spirit of envy. And brothers and sisters, this morning I want to identify it and by the grace of God show you how to defeat it. Because here is what the demon spirit needs to be addressed as. The demon spirit, that envy, that spirit, it is the enemy and not the person that it's trying to get you to despise in your soul. I can already tell that we're going to have fun as we walk through this potato patch this morning as I dig up some old fogies that are being buried down deep inside. You and I both know that there is not one of us in this room that has not felt this and dealt with this at some point in our lives. So we can go ahead head, beloved brothers and sisters, and untie that spiritual mask that you've got over yourself this morning, and we can rip it off and throw it on the side. And if you feel like it, we'll pick it up when we leave, because we can go ahead and just get gun barrel straight this morning. Every single one of us have been or are in and dealing with this demonic spirit of envy at some point in our lives. So let me go ahead and put this down in our hearing. Number one, here's what we need to identify. You have to identify what this spirit is. You have to understand what it is. Well, who does it make you hate? Who does it come at you with? Well, there are several different times in the Bible that we read about this spirit. You read about it from Cain toward Abel. You read about it from Joseph's brothers toward Joseph. You read about it from Saul to David. You read about it from Miriam and Aaron toward Moses. You read about it from the Pharisees to Jesus. You read about it from the Jews to Paul. And this is how you'll know that a spirit of envy is trying to invade your life, because it will make you hate and make you despise and make you very raise that eyebrow and eye somebody that God is blessing. Everybody in the Bible that came on the brunt end of a jealous spirit was jealous by somebody that was being blessed by God. They are looking at somebody and saying, I can't believe they get all the open doors. I can't believe they get all the finances. I can't believe their car doesn't break down. I can't believe. And you are looking at the blessing of God. And that is what you've got to understand. This spirit is not there to expose that they're a hypocrite. It is to take you out of a blessable place with God. And it is to sidetrack that person that is being blessed by God. And so the devil pulls this spirit out of his pocket, puts it in his slingshot, rears back, and tries to kill two birds with one stone. Here's the problem with that spirit of envy that will come over you and I. When I get envious and I get jealous and I get angry at somebody because everything good's happening to them and I feel like nothing good's happening to me, I am the one that makes myself a target for the enemy. Have you ever heard the story of the eagle that hated the other eagle? There's a story of a bald eagle. And there was a new eagle that had come into the cracks and the crevices of his little area. And he hated this eagle. He hated how high that eagle would fly. He hated how wide that eagle would spread its wings. He hated the fact that that eagle had the perfect beak. He hated the fact that that eagle had the perfect neck muscle that made it easy to raise its head and lift itself. He hated everything about that eagle. He hated the way that eagle squawked. He hated the way that eagle nested. And so he decided one day he was going to make a pact with the hunter. He was going to get that hunter to shoot that other eagle out of the sky. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired of that eagle flying so high. So here's what he did. He went to that hunter and he said, I'm going to ask you, would you shoot that eagle out of the sky with your bow and arrow? So that hunter said, I'd love to shoot it out of the sky. I've always wanted a bald eagle on my mantle. I'd be more than happy. He said, you just show me where he is, and I'll be more than happy to shoot it out of the sky. So that hunter took that one bald eagle to the end of the cliff. And he said, show me where he is. And they looked up high in the sky. And there he flew in the skies. And so here's what that hunter said. He said, all right, I've got my bow and arrow. He said, but one of my arrows is lacking a feather. Can I borrow a feather out of your tail? So that eagle plucked a feather out of its tail and gave it to the hunter so he could shoot him out of the sky. That hunter took aim and he shot and he missed. He pulled out another arrow and he said, I need to borrow another feather. And that eagle plucked out another feather and gave it to him. He pulled back and he shot again and he missed again. He did that over and over. Each time he had to borrow a feather out of that eagle's tail. And finally that hunter, he looked at that eagle and he said to that eagle, eagle. He said, you know what? I've always wanted a bald eagle, but that one's going to be too hard to get. I think I'll just take you. And when that eagle tried to fly away, he realized he had impaired himself from being able to run from that hunter because he was trying to kill the other one. He ended up making himself the target that day. And that's what the devil does. He gets you so jealous. He gets you so envious. He gets you so maliced over because somebody else is being blessed by God. Somebody else is being helped by God. Somebody else is being opened up by God. Somebody else has got the blessing of God. And he tells you, you need to take them out. They're a liar. They're the ones that are messed up. That's what Brother Saul said. Brother Saul said this. He said, you're not getting my kingdom. I'll kill you. But here is what Saul didn't realize is every day he walked in jealousy. Every day he walked in malice. Every day he walked in anger. Every day he walked in bitterness. He just sunk himself lower and lower and lower and lower. Now, how does the devil do this? How does the devil get us to try and destroy that person we're envious against? Well, let's look at our Bibles. Let's see what it says. Verse number 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin. Saul cast the javelin. It's interesting to me that they are not on a battlefield, they're in a house. And Saul attempts to kill David in the house. This is what the devil will get you to do. Now, I'm fixing to get into some hard territory, and I'm fixing to get some Baptist pooch lips, so I'm going to go ahead and take me a big old bowl of Holy Ghost Wheaties, and I think I'll be okay getting through it. Here is what the devil will get you to do. In your house, he'll get you to start tearing that person down. He'll get you to start talking about that person with those that are closest to you, because he knows that they'll tend to agree with you, and so you'll sit down in your house. You'll be in the car with your loved one. You'll be in the car, a husband or a wife or a child or a grandchild, and you'll start talking about how that person is the biggest hypocrite. You'll start talking about how that person is the biggest phony, and the devil is using you to tear down that person, and you're picking up your javelin words, and you're throwing it every time, and you're in that car where you ought to be praising God. A house is a place where a person ought to feel safe. But in that house, he's trying to dodge javelins. And here you are in your house where the people of God ought to be saved, and the preachers of God ought to be saved, and the church of God ought to be saved. But the devil's so lied to you in your spirit that you're picking up your words like javelin, and you're throwing it at your brother, and you're throwing it at your sister, and you're throwing it at the people that you're supposed to love. Now watch this. Here's the problem with that. Is Saul a warrior? Yes, he is. He's a warrior king. What's a warrior supposed to do with a javelin? He's supposed to throw it. But who is he supposed to throw it at? He's supposed to throw it at the Philistines. He's supposed to throw it at the enemy. But the devil so lied to him, and now he's throwing it at his brothers or his sisters in Christ. And the devil knows if he can get you in that envious spirit against a brother or a sister, you'll take the words that were meant for the devil and you'll turn it on their head and throw it at a brother or sister. Here's what you need to say. Here's what we often say, Bob. We say that person is sorry. What we ought to be saying is the devil that is oppressing that person is sorry. What we say is that person is a liar. What we ought to be saying is the devil is a liar and he has that person confused. We see a husband that runs off on a wife and we mouth and we moan and we talk about them and talk about them and talk about them and talk about them because they deserve it. They're the ones that messed up. They're the one. Listen to me. You've got to understand the devil. It's the demons. They are the enemy of our soul. They are the enemy of our flesh. And we are to pray for our brothers. And we are to attack the kingdom of the devil. And so here's what we've got to do. We've got to pick our javelins up and we got to throw them at the devil. We got to tell the devil how sorry he is. We've got to tell the devil how wicked he is. And stop throwing javelins at one another. I can tell that one went over, so let me get a little deeper. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, watch this. What this spirit will do is it will try to take us from the place where God smiles at us. Instead, he starts to frown upon us. And watch what that envious spirit does. It tries to take that person who's up there and bring them down to the level of the person that's envious. Now, we've dealt with identifying. We all know what that feels like. We all know. So let me talk about how we can defeat that spirit of envy. Now, I've got four little things. I want you to write these down because I'm telling you, there's not a single one of us that is bigger than this spirit. There's not a single one of us that can outrun this spirit. There's not a single one of us that haven't dealt with this spirit. I don't care if you're a preacher, if you're a deacon, if you're a church member, if you're just here today because somebody promised you could go eat lunch with them, whatever. Every single one of us, we deal with this, but every single one of us, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, can be victorious over this spirit. Number one, how do you defeat this spirit of jealousy and envy? By running in your lane, by staying in your place. Here is what we have got to understand. And I know that we don't think this way. I know we don't operate this way. And I know this is not normal for us to be this way. But you do know that you are different than me. You understand that, right? Somebody say, thank God for that. Shut up, Frankie. You were birthed for something different than what I was birthed for. So when I am envious of what you are, what I am saying is twofold. Number one, you don't deserve it. And number two, God messed up. Because if you were birthed for it, but yet I want to be doing it, I am saying, God, you messed up by giving them that and me this. You know what we need to do every day? Every day we have to wake up and we have to pray, Lord, help me to stay in my lane. Help me to perform my ministry. Help me to be faithful to my spouse. Help me to love my children. Help me to enjoy my job. Help me to be in this lane. I don't know what your deal is and I don't know what my deal is, but the devil is trying to get you out of your lane, because in the old Greek races, there was one way a person could lose a race. You see, they did not give crowns based upon who finished first and based upon who finished second. They gave crowns to everybody that finished the race. Therefore, there was only one way for you not to win a crown. That was for you to be disqualified. And if you were disqualified, there was no crown given to you. And this is what the devil's trying to get you out of. He's trying to get you to run over that lane. He's trying to get you mad because God didn't make you sing like that. He's trying to get you mad because you can't preach like that. He's trying to get you upset because you don't have money like that. He's trying to get you upset because you can't be like that, because you're not married to that person, because you don't have kids like that. Here's what you've got to understand. God gave you what he gave you because he knows he can trust you with that thing. If God didn't give it to you, you can't be trusted with it. And therein lies the problem. Because immediately when I say it, the first thing we think is, how do you know what I can handle? I don't. But God does. And do you see the pride element in our soul when we get envious over these things? We're saying, God, you have messed up. The second way that you defeat this, you first of all, Stay in your lane. Be happy with what you have. Be thankful for what you have. Because this is what old Tyler Curtis has found. What I have is more than I deserve. Stop time. Let's go back to number one. I felt like maybe I didn't hoe in that garden just long enough. Let me get that Ford tractor out. Can I just stop and say something? I love to think that Tyler Galdon is something special, but at the end of the day, Tyler Galdon is sorry. At the end of the day, Tyler Galdon is a sinner. At the end of the day, Tyler Galdon deserves to be in hell. At the end of the day, Tyler Galdon messes up. At the end of the day, you are sorry. At the end of the day, you are a sinner. And at the end of the day, you deserve to be in hell. Therefore, if God's given me any good thing, it's more than I deserve. Therefore, if I'm not in hell today, it's more than I deserve. Therefore, if I have absolutely anything good God in heaven, it's more than I deserve. And I need to learn to be thankful for the lane God gives me. Stay in your lane. Number two, pray for the blessing of the person you envy. Pray for the person that spirit has come over you over. Brother Daniel Buchanan told me this a long time ago, and I've never found it one time it doesn't work. It is impossible for me to hate the person I'm praying for. Absolutely, utterly impossible for me to be jealous over somebody when I'm praying God blesses them. And whenever that spirit comes over you, that anxiety comes over you because what God is doing for them and He's not doing it for you, here's what you pray. Lord, give them double what you've given them. Open up the door twice as much as you've opened it. If you're mad because they get to go to Disney World, you say, God, send them two times this year. If you're mad because they can eat 100 donuts and not gain weight, you say, God, give them the power to eat 200 donuts and not gain weight. And here's what will happen. You will find, I've never found this to not be so, you will find that as you pray for them, you will physically feel that wave fall off of you. Because you cannot pray for someone you hate, and you cannot hate someone you pray for. Why do you think the Lord Jesus told us it's easy to pray for those you love? I say unto you, pray for those that hate you. Because though they hate you, it is impossible to hate them when we pray. Can I ask you a question? Does it bother anybody else when you go into a restaurant and you see somebody but they don't see you, and you know they're a Christian and you know they say they go to church, and from the time they sit down to the time they get up, all they do are run these rubber lips right here and are negative and angry and bitter and ugly about everything and everybody. Does that bother anybody else? Sure, it ought to bother us. Bothers me. You know why? Because there's something unnatural about hate coming from the mouth of a child of God. A child of God is to be an instrument of compassion and love. Well, you don't know what they're really like, preacher. That's why I say what I say. Then pray for them. Here's the third thing you do. Now, this one's going to really bless you. Number three, you know how you beat that spirit of envy, Brother Bob? Do what they're doing. Find out what they're doing and do it. Because if God is blessing them to a degree, they have obviously tapped into a spiritual set of principles that you need to mimic. They have found the place of blessing and they have camped out there. And as long as God is approving of them, you need to be doing what they're doing. Therefore, oh God, we better not be eating with anybody else today, baby, because they're going to be in a hard time. Just it's going to be me and you. Let's talk right quick, though. If somebody else has a happy marriage and you hate their happy marriage because you don't have a happy marriage, wouldn't the common sense thing be to do, if you want a happy marriage too, find out what's making them happy and do the same thing? Have we gotten so divided in our nation and so divided that as soon as we hate somebody, we're done with them completely? Has our nation arrived at utter lunacy? Sure it has. But lunacy ought never be defining a child of God. I hate the fact that guy preaches like that. I'll tell you what I used to do and still do it. I find as many videos of that person preaching as I can, and I watch them, and I read after them, and I listen to them, because I want to know what God's got in their life, and I say, God, what you've got in them, I want it mimicked in me. That is so ungodly. Oh, yeah? Why then did the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ? You find somebody that's in the blessed place of God and mimic what they're doing, because you'll be mimicking Christ. Here's the fourth thing you do to defeat this spirit of envy. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. By the help of God, I'll preach on this one day if the Spirit will give me liberty. We have got to understand there are seasons to life. I cannot always be in a blessed place in my life. It's not possible. In fact, if I'm always in a blessed place, I promise you God did not put me in that place. Because Genesis chapter number 8, the Bible says, as long as the earth remaineth, there will never cease to be winter and fall and spring and summer. There'll be four seasons. It's that way in our life. Every marriage is going to go through a winter and a spring and a summer and a fall, and it'll repeat. Every ministry will go through a winter, a spring, a summer, and a fall. Every life is going to go through a winter. There's going to be times when it's cold. There's going to be times when it's hard. There's going to be times when it's harsh. There's going to be time when there's no life whatsoever. Then there's going to be times when it's blessed. And this is what the devil does. We get in a winter season in our life or in our marriage, and we look at somebody else that's in a spring season or a summer season, and we get envious over them. And what I try to tell people is this. Stop. Stay faithful. Keep doing what you're doing. If you can't find sin in your life, if you can't find something where you can be improving on, then just stay faithful. And God will bring you out of the winter and take you to the spring if you stay faithful. Not every church, it bothers me. I was eating with Brother Tim the other day. We were talking about Sunday school. And I walked in, and I was so down. I said, Tim, nobody's going to come to church. I said, everybody's going to leave. I said, people hate me. I said, my dog don't even like me. I don't even have a dog. The neighbor's cat hates me. Tried to kill it, but that ain't my fault. I can't help it. Tim looked at me and he said, man, I think everything's great. Everybody's happy. Everybody's growing. I said, yeah, but Tim, you don't know what they're doing down there. I said, they've always got this going on. He said, but everybody's happy. Everybody's growing. And it occurred to me the very spirit I had been studying about was trying to overcome and overwhelm. And there are some of you right now. That spirit is trying to invade your soul and steal your joy. The devil is a what? So then therefore, when he tells you they are better than you, what is he doing? It's a demon spirit.